Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at a few verses in this chapter and then a few in the next chapter. A very interesting subject this morning. Not a lot of verses, but a very interesting subject. Going to ask you and I the question, and that is, why do we serve God? Don't answer out loud. Just think about that for a minute. And really the question to ask is, why do you serve God? why do you come to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you hand out tracts? Why do you go on visitation? And why do you give to missions and those kind of things? Why do you do what you do? And I got to remind all of us that there's a very difficult lesson in Matthew chapter 26 about a man. And this man walked with the Lord Jesus Christ just like the other disciples did. Peter and James and John and all of them traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. He heard all the messages that Jesus preached. He saw all the miracles that Jesus did. He spent time with the other disciples and with Jesus. And so not only did he hear the preaching, but he heard all the things that Jesus taught those men. And any of us would say, wouldn't it have been an honor to travel with Jesus and to listen to him preach? Amen? And one day we'll get to meet him in person, but right now we meet him in the Bible. And all these fellows, they traveled with him for 3.5 years. And then one of them was willing to take, and I'm just going to pull this number out of the air because the number's a little uncertain, but let's just say $600, maybe $1,000, but let's just say $600. One of them was willing to take $600. And in exchange for that $600, he was willing to turn Jesus over to the Roman soldiers. He was willing to betray, and that word betray is interesting. It's actually, every time you look in the Bible at the word betray, almost over half of the times when the word betray occurs in the Bible is talking about this man. In the New Testament, in that fact, his name becomes the betrayer. That's what they call him. And what does it mean to betray someone? It means to exchange your relationship with them for something else, to turn your back on them, to turn them in, to allow them to suffer so that you can gain. And I'm talking, of course, about Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. And Jesus had called him, hadn't he? Now, first of all, you understand, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. There's no question about that. But when the Lord Jesus Christ called Judas, he did not make Judas do what he did. Judas made his own choices, just like you and I do. Amen? Aren't you glad you choose to serve God? And I ask that question, why do we serve God? Are we like Judas and we just serve until something better comes along? Or are we like Judas and we just serve until we think we might have the opportunity to get something for it by doing something else? Judas was willing to give up everything about Jesus and everything that Jesus had done for him for $600. I'm going to read three verses. I think it's three verses in Matthew 26. And then I'm going to read three verses in Matthew 27. So be ready to flip over to Matthew 27. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. And let's ask ourselves that question today. Why are we doing what we're doing? And let's make really sure we're not like Judas, all right? Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. And then in Matthew chapter 27, you'll need to flip over there. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Then one of the 12, Matthew 26, 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, maybe $600. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Look at chapters 27. And let's read verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, this Jesus was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning that as we open the Bible that we always see things in it that speak to us and that can change us. And God, help us to examine ourselves today. I think of the sad, sad story of Judas, the opportunities that he had that he gave up. And he gave it up for just some money. And then when he realized what he had done, he didn't even want that. I know today there are people here, especially some young people, that the devil's going to come to them and he's going to offer them something that looks enticing. But they need to remember that if they leave the Lord Jesus Christ for anything, it's going to end in a bad way. It's not going to help them. It's going to hurt them. And I just pray that you'd bless us as we spend time in the Word of God today. And Lord, I pray for each one here that when we leave this place today, we would know that you visited with us. It was good to be in your house. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Pieces of silver. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, there's a prophecy that describes exactly what happens here. We were talking about how amazing the Bible is in Sunday school. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it to you. It's in Zechariah chapter 11 and in verses 12 and 13. And this is written, by the way, Zechariah was written 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was even born. So this is a prophecy and it's an amazing one. I said unto them, Zechariah 11:12, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, and a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now go back to Matthew 27 and look at verses 7 through 10. After Judas, in verse 5, had cast the money down, in verse 6, actually, the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field, to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. You can see it talks about the potter in Zechariah 11, the potter in Matthew 27. Everything that happened with Judas Iscariot, God had already seen. And there's a lot of Old Testament prophecy about Judas. In fact, in the Psalms, he's mentioned several times. We'll look at some of that today. You know, there are two kinds of people in the Bible, at least two kinds. One kind is the kind you want to be like. You want to be like someone like Joseph, amen? Joseph was a man that even though he suffered and even though he was unjustly persecuted and suffered for wrong, he had done nothing wrong. It was wrong for him to suffer. He still did not turn his back on God. He still served God and wound up being used by God in a great way. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is a man who also suffered, but he never did give up, did he? He kept on going. And those are people you'd say, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Joseph. The Bible never says anything bad about Joseph. And wouldn't it be great if God could look at us that way? Amen? But there are also the kind of people in the Bible that you don't want to be like. And at the top of the list, I've got to put Judas Iscariot. when you look at Judas in the Bible, even way back in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, which were written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, something like that, the Psalms talk about Judas. And then in the New Testament, anytime you see him mentioned, it's accompanied by the word betrayer. In fact, he's called the betrayer, or in one place he's called the son of perdition, which means the son of destruction. So, first of all, I want to remind you that even though you and I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've still got to make right decisions, don't we? We still have to choose to do what's right, and we have to choose not to do what's wrong. And I'm thinking of our young people today, because they're tempted in some ways that you and I have already passed that point in our life. But the devil would like to come to our young people and say to them, if you would just turn your back on what God said, I'll give you something better. I want you to know the devil never gives you something better. And if you don't remember anything else about this message, just think of Judas' history. Judas spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, heard him preach, saw him do the miracles, knew him, that Jesus was innocent. And he knew he was innocent. He said so right there. And then thought, oh, if I had $600, well, that'd be worth losing my relationship with Jesus. Because, folks, he believed, and you could study a little bit more than I have time to develop today, but Judas believed that Jesus was going to somehow be delivered. He knew Jesus was innocent. And he had seen Jesus already escape. You may remember that when Jesus first began his ministry and he went to Nazareth and he preached, they were going to throw him off a hill. And he just walked through the midst of them. They could not see him as he walked through. And Judas thought, Jesus is innocent. Jesus is powerful. He'll deliver himself one more time. But Judas had to know that after he betrayed Jesus, his walk with Jesus was over, because he would be revealed for who he was. And his time with the disciples was over. He was not going to be with them anymore. And he weighed that and he said, let me see, what will you guys offer me? He knew there were people that hated Jesus. What will you offer me? Folks, today the world is saying to our young people and to you and I, let me make you an offer. Let me see what you'll take. Maybe if I gave you enough money, maybe you'd stop going to church. Maybe if I gave you some pleasure, you'd stop obeying God. Maybe if I gave you that thing that you want so bad, you'd do what God said not to do. Isn't that exactly what happened in the garden? The devil came to Eve and he said, you're not going to die. This is a great thing. It's going to make you wise. You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And she turned her back on what God had said, who she knew God said not to eat that fruit, and she did so anyway. Judas is a picture of something you and I don't want to be like. Amen? Let me show you 3 or 4 things about him that you and I need to avoid. And then let's begin, if you could, back in Matthew 26, back in verse 15. And he makes a statement there in verse 15 when Judas came to the priests. Matthew 26, 15. He says to these priests, he says, what will you give me? What will you give me? Judas was not motivated by a love for Jesus, or he never would have gone to the priests. Judas was not motivated by a love for God, or he would have followed Jesus and he wouldn't have been interested in this. But no, Judas was serving for what he could get. You know, sadly, there are some people that serve God for what they get. Hey, if everything's going well, then I'll serve God because that makes me happy. Maybe they come to church so that they can be seen, or so that they can, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes I think teenagers come to church because the girls want to see the guys and the guys want to see the girls. And the fact is, we got to come to church to see the Lord. Sometimes folks serve in ministries. I've seen people go into the ministry and sadly, they went into the ministry because they wanted people to think they were important. If you're serving God for what you get, you missed the big picture. We serve God for who he is. Isn't that, remember the story of Job? I hope you know the story of Job. The devil came to God and he said, Job just serves you. The only reason Job loves you is because of what he gets. You've made him rich. You've given him all these blessings. That's why Job loves you. And that was a tremendous insult to Job. And God allowed Job. You think about, why did Job suffer? To prove his love for God. Amen? Because he never, ever did. His wife even came to him and said, curse God and die. God's obviously, you know, done with you. Curse God and die. And he said, no, I won't do that. Am I only going to accept good from God's hand and not accept the evil? And he wouldn't do that. He was loving God and serving God because of who God is. Why are we loving and serving God? Hopefully not for what we get. What if you didn't get anything? Would you still be in church? Amen? The thing is, we know God blesses us, don't we? The Bible's full of promises that God will bless us. For example, we studied this last week in the Faith Promise Conference, that if we'll send out missionaries, Bob Larson last Sunday morning showed you. He said, my God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. After we've done our part. So someone says, well, and I've seen this happen a lot too. Someone says, well, I know if I tithe, God will take care of me financially. And he will. And by the way, if you don't tithe, he won't take care of you as well financially. But are you tithing because you love the Lord or because of what you get? Amen? Are we serving because it makes us feel good or because it glorifies God? Are we doing what we do in order to be seen, in order to be important? Or are we doing it because we love God? You got to be careful. Some of that Judas can slip into us. His question, first and foremost, is, what will you give me? Folks, God doesn't owe us anything. And we don't serve God for what we will get. If we do, we're just like Judas. He's serving for what he could get. Let's look at another one here. In verse 15, it says, they covenanted with him. That means they agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. And again, I read around a little bit. It's kind of hard to say what that's worth. Maybe $600 in our money today. Maybe $1,000. Maybe $2,000. Let me ask you this. If somebody came to you and said, here's $2,000. I'll give this to you if you won't go to church anymore. I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it if it was $20,000. I wouldn't take it if it was $200,000. How can you turn your back on God? Somebody told me a story the other day, and I read about this. It's true. There are companies, Amazon among them, and they will come to their employees when they're first getting started. And I know somebody that did this. They came to this person and they said, we will give you $2,000 if you will quit and never work for Amazon again in your entire life. And the person that I was talking to about this, they thought about it. Let me see. Yeah, I can do that. And they took the $2,000, and now they can't work for Amazon anymore. And they really don't care. They got $2,000. That's one thing to turn your back on Amazon. But can you turn your back on God that way? Where else are you going to go? There's lots of places you can go to work besides Amazon. Do you know why Amazon does that? Do you know why? By the way, that idea came from somebody else. It didn't come from Bezos. He got it from somebody. But the reason they do that is to test your loyalty. Because Amazon says, if you're not loyal to us, we don't want you working for us. And so if you are willing to take $2,000, which at that time probably would have been 6 weeks' pay for this person, if you're willing to take $2,000 and not work for Amazon anymore, you're making a statement. And your statement is, I really don't care if I work for Amazon or not. I'm not loyal to Amazon. I'm loyal to money. Now, I'm just going to take that and just twist it a little bit. Are you loyal to money or are you loyal to God? Amen? I know people and they say, I can't go to church. I got to work. Are you loyal to money or are you loyal to God? I know people that put themselves into situations where they take a job and they can't go to church anymore. Are you loyal to money or are you loyal to God? You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to be like Judas. Then you need to be loyal to God. And I've already mentioned, he knew good and well his walk with Jesus was over. I mean, he walked up to Jesus in that garden, and he kissed Jesus, indicating this is the one that the Romans need to arrest. Because it's interesting, the Romans were so ignorant of who Jesus was, they didn't know what he looked like. Judas did. You know, you and I know God. Some people don't know God at all. We know exactly who He is. We know exactly who Christ is. He's our Savior, amen? He lives in our heart. We know all about Him. Judas knew all about Him, and he said, I'll walk up to Him and I'll kiss Him, and that's the one you need to arrest. Once he kissed the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth is known. Judas is a betrayer. No more walking with Jesus. No more walking with the disciples. Now he's going to be off on his own. And Judas is saying to himself, oh, well, I got $1,000 out of the deal. That's not so bad. Yes, it is. It's horrible. There's nothing in your life that's worth forsaking Jesus to go after. Amen? And Judas was serving for the money. He was a money-motivated person. Now, I understand money is important, but I also understand this. God can provide for us. And Judas did not see it that way. Now, this gets better. And I might ask you to turn to a couple of verses here. Let's go to Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Got to mark my place. We're coming back to Matthew, but go to Psalm 109. Like I told you, the Old Testament is full of verses that talk about who Judas was and what he did. Now, I can't read all this for the sake of time, but in Psalm 109, it really starts off at the beginning. It's all about Judas Iscariot. In fact, in my Bible, I've written Judas Iscariot at the top of Psalm 109. But look at verse 4. He says, Psalm 109, are you there? Psalm 109, 4. He says, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Just kind of stop right there and ask you this question. Have you thought about what Jesus has done for you? How much He loves you. Amen? How He died on the cross for our sins. How He's cared for us since then. And Judas was a benefactor of all this. Judas was traveling with the disciples. He was getting the same benefits the rest of them were. And folks, I want you to know something. Jesus loved Judas and died for his sin. And he made the choice that he made. I'm still in Psalm 109. He says in verse 6, set thou a wicked man over him. And let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Oh, we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty now. If you know your Bible history, in the book of Acts, they replaced Judas with somebody else, didn't they? This is talking about Judas Iscariot, all of this. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered, and the Lord with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that sins he's talking about, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because, in verse 16, he remembered not to show mercy. He persecuted the poor and needy man, talking about Jesus, that he might even slay the broken in heart. It goes on and on and on. Folks, I don't want to be that person. You say, you know, sin can't cost that much. Oh, yes, it can. My dad, when he got saved, I remember him. He's told me this story many times. He was in a little bitty church. It was actually a schoolhouse in the daytime. They used it for a church on Sundays and during revivals. And they had a revival. You've heard me tell this story. They would paint pictures and put them on the wall. And my dad saw one of those pictures, and it was people in hell. Somebody had drawn a picture of people in hell and about how important it is to get saved. And my dad told me, he said, I saw that picture and I thought, I've never done anything bad enough to have to go to a place like that. I want you to know something. If you've rejected God's Son, you deserve a place called hell. Amen. After all He did for you, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, in one sense, you're a lot like Judas. You had a choice. You could choose Jesus, or you could choose the world and sin and all that goes with it. And you chose that. And when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're saying is, I don't care if He died for me. I don't care what he did for me. I don't care if he loved me. I don't care that he, you know, cares about me. I just want what I can get from the world. Now, a lost person fits that description, doesn't he? Let's make sure saved people don't. Be very careful about that. Go back to Matthew, if you would, chapter 27. We got to move a little quicker here. So Judas, he served for what he could get. He valued money over his walk with Christ. He was willing to be wicked regardless of the cost. Now look at chapter 27, and let's just look at those three verses again there in Matthew chapter 27. In verse 3, it says, when he saw, that's Judas saw, that he, Jesus, was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now, let me tell you what repent means. I wished I hadn't done it. I wouldn't do it again. That's a general thought there. I wished I hadn't done it. I wouldn't do it again. I want to undo it if I can. And I just want you to understand something. There are times when it's too late to go back. Be careful you don't cross one of those lines. Young people, the devil is trying to get you to do something you can't undo. He's trying to get you in a situation that you can't get out of. There was a young man in my youth group in Salt Lake City, and his name was Justin. And right across the street from him, there lived a family, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and that's neither here nor there right now. And they had a boy in that house. It was Justin's age, and this time he would have been about 14 years old, maybe. And one night, this boy, some of his friends came and picked him up. Justin didn't go. He almost did. This boy got picked up, and he didn't not quite know what was going on, but his friends had a gun, and they drove down the street, and they shot the gun into somebody's house. Nobody got killed, praise the Lord, but the police stopped them. And I got the phone call, I was a youth pastor, from Justin's mom, would you go see Justin's friend? He's in jail. He's in the youth detention is what it was called, but it's the same difference. He's in youth detention. So I went down there and I talked to the people and told them who I was and who I wanted to see. And they said, well, go into that room over there and wait for him. And so I went to this little room, and it's got very secure windows, and so you couldn't get out of it. And I waited, and here comes this young man, 14 years old, and his feet are chained together, and his hands are chained together, and there's a chain running from his hands down to his feet, and he hobbles into the room. And I was strongly affected by that. I thought to myself, how sad is this? The young man sits down. I talked to him about Christ. He did not get saved. You think he might wish he hadn't have done some things? You think he might be thinking, I wish I hadn't gone with those guys? He didn't pull the trigger. He was just in the wrong company at the wrong time. Folks, there are times when you'll pay the price for your sin. We're going to look at that tonight when we talk about Ahab and the situation with Naboth's vineyard and how God responded to that. There are times when you can't turn around and go back and undo it. There was a man in Salt Lake City that I visited, 27, 28 years old. Name was Angel. And Angel got saved, praise the Lord. Angel, his story goes like this. He was interested in drugs, interested in alcohol. And so one night he's driving his car and he's high. And he runs off the road and has a wreck and has permanent brain damage. And he's so terribly damaged by this. He can't take care of himself. He had to live with his mother. He can't feed himself very well. He can't keep himself clean. His body, his mind is permanently damaged. Now, praise God, he got saved. But folks, when he got saved, his mind didn't suddenly come back to 100%. When he goes to heaven, it will. But he made a decision to sin, and it was too late to go back. Judas made a decision. And when he realized what he had done, and here's the clincher, you'll realize one day what you've done. There may not be a way to go back. Praise God, you got saved before you reached that point. Amen? So Judas was unable to repent. Now look at this last thing and we're done. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5. So he goes to the chief priest. He tries to give him back the 30 pieces of silver, and they could care less. They said, what is that to us? You take care of that in verse 4. Now, what did he do? When he was making the arrangement, 30 pieces of silver looked like what he wanted more than anything else. More than walking with Jesus, more than walking with the disciples, more than all that Jesus could do for him, and all the things Jesus had done for him. And he thought, no, I think I'd rather have 30 pieces of silver. $600 would be better to me than all that. What does he do with that 30 pieces of silver? Once he sees the truth, once he sees what he's really done, look at verse 5 in Matthew 27. He cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple. What he says to these fellows is, I don't want this money anymore. And what did he do? He went out and hanged himself. Now, the book of Acts talks about this a little bit more. And it gets kind of, it's just disgusting. You can read the book of Acts and see what happened. But it looks as if after he hanged himself, it just left him there until he fell on the ground. And then when he fell on the ground, he broke open. That's enough said. Why did he change his mind? He finally realized what he should have done. But then it was too late. He tried to undo what he had done, and then it was too late. And here's my thought. The devil's going to come to you, and he's going to say, if you had this, you'd be happy. But it's going to cost you your relationship with Christ, or it's going to cost you obedience with Christ. It's going to cost you loving Christ. And somebody says, well, I want that so bad, I'll give that up. There'll be a time when you'll realize what you've done. And then it'll be too late. I can apply that two ways, real easy. One of them real easy. You know that the Bible says every lost person is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. It doesn't matter what they say now. One day they're going to see the truth and they're going to realize they should have bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to bow. But then it'll be too late. But I'm afraid there's another way to apply that. I think there are Christians, and there are Christians that take their walk with Christ, their service for Christ, their obedience to Christ, their love for Christ, their relationship with Christ and with his people, and they exchange that for something the world has to offer. And that's the rest of their life. And one day, somewhere along the way, they'll realize. I have seen with my own eyes people weeping over their sin, but they can't undo their sin. I've seen a personal experience with a friend of mine who married a girl who had an abortion. And she had that abortion when she was in her teens. And she would come to the altar repeatedly weeping over what she had done. There's no way to undo that. Folks, better not to commit the sin than to listen to the devil's lies and wish you hadn't committed the sin. Amen? There's good news in all of this. The very fact that you're here today and the very fact that you can read the Bible and you can see what happened to Judas warns us not to be that way. Amen? Just a couple of thoughts, and we're out of time, but instead of resembling Judas, instead of just following Jesus for what you get, instead of forfeiting your relationship with him, instead of thinking your sin's not going to cost you anything, instead of being like Judas, why don't you be like Jesus? You'll see some interesting things here, and I got to be quick. Jesus was the victim of this betrayal. He was opposed and he was attacked by a fellow believer. He did not change his course. I don't know if you understand. If you are in churches long enough, there'll be a point in time to where somebody in that church, in a church, is going to hurt your feelings or worse. Does that mean we stop serving God? No. You know, just because somebody else sins, just because somebody else doesn't go to church, just because somebody else is willing to be ungodly, Folks, I don't serve people because of them. I don't serve God because of them. I serve God because of God. I don't walk with God because of a bunch of other people that are walking with God. I walk with God because He's God. So I don't let other people affect me. And if there's a Judas in the midst and he is obvious and you see him and you think, well, Christians are hypocrites. No, he may be a hypocrite, but praise the Lord, God's God. We keep walking with Him. You want to resemble Jesus, just stay on course. I've seen it time and time again. It's so sad. Somebody will get saved and they'll start looking at the Christians in the church and they'll start to noticing some of those people are unfaithful. Some of those people don't come to church but once every now and then. Some of those people don't serve God. Some of those people have a bad attitude. And they'll start thinking, well, why should I be a part of this? We're not a part of this. We're a part of Christ. Amen? Amen? And I heard a very wise man from Phoenix, by the way, about 30 years ago, made a statement. Instead of letting them affect you, why don't you affect them? Amen? Amen? You say, well, somebody's grumpy. Well, be real happy and make them happy. Amen? Somebody's hard to work with. Well, be real easy to work with and offset that. Well, somebody slapped me. The Bible says, turn the other cheek. Be cheerful. You'd be amazed how much difference you can make if you try. Amen? Say, well, I can't change them all. Oh, we already heard the illustration about the kid throwing a starfish in the water. Well, I changed that one. Amen? You just do what you can, one person at a time. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did right and then suffered because He did right. Folks, just want you to know that's going to happen. Well, there's this Judas out there, and I don't want to be around him. No, you just keep on doing what's right. Amen? And you do what's right because it's right and because of who God is, not because everybody else is doing what's right. Amen? Jesus, this is interesting to me. He chose Judas. He walked with Judas. He blessed Judas the whole time knowing what Judas was going to do to him. He knew the day He called Judas to be a disciple that Judas would betray Him. But He still was kind to Judas. Can I just remind all of us that God knows us better than we know ourselves? He knows our failures. He knows what we're going to do later. Jesus died for your sins before you were ever born, knowing what you would do. And so the fact that somebody's not perfect, that's okay. Jesus put up with that too, didn't He? And if He can do that, then we ought to try to do it ourselves. Here's a closing thought. Do you understand that Judas is a picture of Satan? Now, the Bible says Satan entered into him. I've got that reference written down here. It's John chapter 13 and verse 27. And, of course, we've also got the picture of Satan, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 19. But think about this. When Satan was created, God created him, and he had a special place, a special responsibility in heaven. And he had all the blessings of heaven and all the responsibilities of heaven and all of the benefits that go with that. And he wasn't satisfied with what God gave him. He wanted something else. Now, hold that thought. He wasn't satisfied with what God gave him. He wanted something else, something more, something he thought was better. Can I ask you this? Did Satan wind up getting something better? He didn't get anything better, did he? He's going to spend eternity in hell. He had all the benefits, just like Judas did, and he rebelled against God, and he took some angels with him, and they'll be cast down to hell. The reason for Satan's sin, the reason for Judas's sin, is the thing you and I need to guard against, and that is they were not satisfied with what God gave them. And I won't take you there, but there's a passage in Peter, and it talks about that. That they left their first estate. They had a place that God had them in, and God prepared it, and God knew what it was, and God had established it, and it all came from God. And they said, that's not good enough for me. I want something else. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, please hear this. When you reject what God has for you, you're never going to get something better. The devil will tell you it's better, just like he told Eve. When you reject what God has for you, you're never going to get something better. whatever it is God's done in your life and whatever he's got you in, what situation he's got you in and what you've been through and what you're enduring right now, I want you to know something. If you walk away from God looking for something better, you will not find it. Amen? Judas thought if he walked away, oh, hey, $1,000, what a deal. And then when he realized the truth, threw the money on the ground and his life became of no value to him. He lost all hope. There are things God has given you and I. There are things that God has done and is doing for you and I. And folks, let's be satisfied with what God's done. You say, well, I just think I can find something better. When you leave God's will, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. Does that make sense? Say, if I was to sin, I think it would give me something better. Sin never brings better, it always brings death. That's what we're going to see tonight in the passage in Kings. You're in one of three situations today. First of all, if you're here and you're not saved, and when I talk about being saved, I mean you know Jesus Christ lives in your heart. You called on him to save you from your sins, and he came into your life, and he made a difference. That's saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, there's nothing better than accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you are saved, you're in one of two situations. Either the devil is trying to get you to turn your back on God and go after something else, or maybe he's already talked you into that. The very fact that you're here is good news. Come back to God. Someone says, I think I'm just going to quit. You know what that really means? I think I can find something better somewhere else. If God put you here, if God put you wherever you are, stay there. Amen? Don't make the mistake that Satan made. Don't make the mistake the angels that followed him made. Don't make the mistake that Judas made and say, oh, this would be better. Folks, it's not better. Encouraging thought to close. Job. Joseph. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's three examples there of people that suffered and endured it. Have you read the end of their stories? Amen? Joseph became second command in Egypt. He wound up being the ruler over, you know, the whole world for that matter. Job, God restored everything he had lost twice. He got twice what he had before. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, purchased us from our sins to be with him for all eternity. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? What you ought to do, stick it out. We heard a lot of that this last week in the preaching. I had a good message in chapel on Tuesday about not quitting. Folks, let's just keep on going. Amen? Now, if God wants you to move or change course or change direction, he'll move you. But when you start saying, what can I get? That's what Judas said to the priest. What will you offer me? You're starting to say, I'm not happy with what I have. Paul said it this way, godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, I have learned, Paul said, in whatsoever state, what means condition, in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. Well, that's a nice way to end the service, amen? Let's walk out the doors today. Instead of saying what I didn't get, say, look how good God is. Amen? And if you stop doing that, you're walking on thin ice and you're treading where Judas tread. I'm just telling you, the end is not worth the price. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.